What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Ooh, we're from Texas now. Greg, how are you?
I'm good.
The dad hat. It's great.
Thank you. Yeah, you commented on it earlier.
I want to give a shout out to what the pandemic has done to all of us. You look like a dad that's about to take his kids to soccer practice.
Sure.
Tim is definitely boy band Tim. Andy's still Andy, and I look like a crazed fucking homeless person right now.
It's been a long time in the making, but here we are.
Is that what you noticed as you were like rubbing your face at the start of the podcast? You're like, I have let myself go.
It's a lot. And so like every person that comes on the podcast that hasn't seen me in a while asks about the beard. And now I'm starting to get a little self-conscious about it. But then there's also the part of me that wants to just rebel against any time anyone tells me anything that's good for me. And now I'll just keep letting it grow out probably.
I mean, it's power, dude. That thing has a mind of its own. I'm proud of you for rocking it as long and hard as you have.
Nick. Yeah, I don't think it's that people, you know, who come to visit the podcast, they bring it up or whatever. It's just because they don't see you as much as we do. We're impressed by it. We feel the power of it, too. It's just, it's, you know, normal for us now. We're used
to it. Thank you, guys.
I never talked down.
I mean, I would like for him to shave it, if we can be honest with each other.
Shave it? 100%. Like, take it all off.
No. Not all the way off. No.
Trim it up?
Yeah, like give it a little cleaning.
Because the thing about it for me personally is, like I think when I look at it on camera, like right now, it's like, yeah, that's cool. And then when he drops things off, I'm like, ugh. Like I feel that. I feel that, Andy.
And that's what Danielle gets to see every day. But what you have to realize is part of the fun of having the beard is that I know nobody gets to see the full effect of it. Because when I go outside, I'm obviously wearing the mask. Mm-hmm. So people just kind of go, okay, this guy's got a big bushy beard, but they don't see it.
Big bushy beard.
I got a great big bushy beard.
But I think it's even weirder that the mask doesn't fully.
Yeah, it's trying to escape the mask.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the mask is. It's
like Scary Movie.
I don't know if this
one is
scientifically good or not, but the mask is definitely.
I got
protruding.
It. Sorry. I was like, Scary Movie. Oh, the bush. Yeah, okay, I remember that.
I think it's Greg wearing the Mario Kart shirt, try to keep up with the lower midsection, just
that's fair.
Fighting for life and trying to escape.
What a good analogy.
See, I want to take this in a different direction, though, where the few times I've seen Nick in real life, I am just impressed, just sheerly impressed by this thing. It looks way better in real life than it looks here.
See, here it looks manageable. It's when you see it in real life that you realize it's not manageable.
It's a lot.
That's where the power comes from.
Because the thing that you have to realize is, where do you think my chin... Here's what we're going to do. We're going to have fun. Where does my chin stop?
Yeah, move the microphone.
Move your finger down.
Mean, first off, we can very much see you're starting at your lips. This is going to take longer than it needs to.
Yeah. Keep moving down.
Tell me when to stop.
I can still see... We can still see a patch. Okay, getting close.
Stop.
No, it's too far. That's too far. No, come back up a bit. Come up a bit. Yeah, Discord delay.
There we go.
Look at that. Look at that. And that's what it looks like. Do this for me. Do this for me. Like, yeah, pinch it. Pinch it.
I don't like it.
Your chin. Pinch it at your chin so I can see.
Let's play.
Pinch it at your chin so I can see. I want to see.
It's like you're pulling back the foreskin.
Gross.
But look, I do this. Oh, and there's a little schmeggin in there.
Nick's a giant dick.
Wow.
It's his bush.
No, but okay.
I might take it down a little bit. I might trim it down a little bit this weekend, Andy.
There's one thing I want to throw in there. I am not in any way, advocating for dyeing your beard. I just want to get that out front. I don't want you to dye your beard.
Something's about to happen. That's not.
But
be
I think
well, good.
One Having of the reasons. That. I think one of the reasons why it maybe looks a little bit messier is because of the discoloration.
Greatness. Yeah.
Not even the grayness, just like there's a lot of brown and some gray thrown in there. And it feels like a little bit of homeless in there. And I think I don't want you to dye it at all, because then you will look like Keemstar. And that's already a terrible look for you.
I'm pretty against dyeing my hair. I don't like when guys, because guys never do it right? They never go to like the person who can actually dye it and like put colors in it. So you always see these guys that are like 80 or 90 years old, but their hair is like jet black, and you're like, does not look good. And it's the same with the beards. I'm like, just let your beard be where it's going to be. The biggest offender, I want to say though, 100% across the board with just calling me out every time she sees me, my mom, every single time looks at my beard and like, it's terrible. I don't like it. You got to get rid of the gray. What are you doing? Do people like this? Do people see you? You do a podcast, right? They don't see you, right? You don't do video. you know, you gotta, if you want brutal honesty, you gotta go to your family. That's for sure.
I think if it were
the comment section of this video,
I think if it were more gray, then I'd be less put off by the bit of grayness. I think if it were like opposite, right? Like if the brown was grayer, then you had some strands of color still left in there. But I also just, you know me, I'm an artist, right? I'm thinking angles, I'm thinking geometry all the time. And I would just love to get in there and just kind of, not even really do a whole lot to it, Nick. Just kind of shape it up, sculpt it a little bit, you know? I'm like an ice shaver on Christmas Eve.
What are you doing tonight? I'll come over tonight. You can shave it down. We'll do it for your audience.
I got some stuff going on.
Here's my question. Ice shaver on Christmas Eve?
The ice sculptor.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't judge that being a Christmas Eve activity.
I was talking about snow cones. I was talking about snow cones.
Okay. That's also weird. Yeah.
I was thinking the scene from Groundhog Day where he learns how to ice sculpt and like sculpts her perfectly.
Yeah, that's a great one. Yeah. It's a
great scene.
See, I went to a similar one, not the same though, a hot tub time machine. When they keep waiting for Crispin Glover's arm to get cut off. Nick, you were going to say something. What was that going to be?
Oh, I don't even know anymore, guys. I'm just happy to be here. It's Friday.
Tim, what were you going to say?
I was going to say that if Andy can make his hair look the way that it does, this anime Andy that we know, what could he do to Nick's beard with how much we're working with here?
Well,
I've never seen an anime beard that I can think of off the top of my head.
Oh, yeah. We could do some fun stuff.
I mean, we've seen, like, there are anime beards. So that's usually just like the long, like, traditional thing. I'm talking about, like, I want some anime head hair on the chin hair.
What if we did some braids? What about some, like, a braid? Like Super a Nordic beard. Braid? Or we do take it down here, but keep the goatee longer, and it looks like the sort of like Metallica metal rock.
Here's I like the beard. I like the braided beard, and then shave a kind of a mohawk kind of looking thing. Like keep your hair the length it is, but then shave just kind of all the sides to the skin, and you'll have kind of like this overhang. Mm-hmm. I think that's the next evolution of Scarpino.
You know that Andy gave me my favorite haircut of all time, the mullet. And my hair is getting pretty long again. So the question becomes, do I do the mullet or do I do this mohawk, Andy? And I have to leave that in your hands as my
Nick, can you actually, can you, is there any way to full screen Nick? I would just like to get a shot of your face right now. Maybe move the microphone for me and I'll take off your hat. Let me try to do a Photoshop as y'all are talking. But this is not for audio listeners, so don't even worry about the Photoshop audio listeners. This is strictly for...
Don't worry about it, audio listeners. Get out of here.
I'll just take the headphones off. No, take the headphones fully off, yeah.
While we're addressing things, I don't like Nick's part on the side here. It makes me uncomfortable. Makes me think he's like going to go to church or something.
Yeah, the part is an interesting one too. There's a lot of things that Nick does at home now that he wouldn't do at the office, and I don't know how to feel about any of them.
I've always parted my hair. You guys, I don't understand why this is a weird thing for you. The part might be a little higher than it is, but I've just never had the length over here before.
It feels like the length is the thing.
You look like when John Cena showed up with hair for the first time.
Oh my god!
Oh yeah, he looked terrible with that.
This isn't like a hairstyle you're trying to show. You're clearly wearing a hat today. You're like, I'm trying to
fuck around with it.
Yeah, because it's
I'm loving it. I'm trying to let it grow out a little bit so I can full on mulletize it and freak out all my neighbors.
Because if the part, because usually when it's shorter, when you always cut your hair more frequently or whatever, the part is, not much hair goes the other way. It's just kind of shaved
like
on that
maybe
side.
A little bit here, or sometimes he shaves it down all the way. Right now, though, what I did was I took a shower a little bit later in the day, as one does on these pandemics, because we had some early morning stuff going on.
I didn't even shower today.
What's that?
I haven't even showered today.
How long has it been, Greg? How many days?
I showered yesterday. I just didn't shower. I usually do it in the morning, but then I wake up now on a Friday. I watch WandaVision. Then it's the meeting. Then it's writing a thing. Games daily.
Do nice showers.
I did the thing where I showered. And my hair is so long now. You know, you wipe it off, slick it back a little bit, threw it in the hat, and when it came off, this is what it does. It just kind of finds a part somewhere, which is fine.
The part finds a way.
Nick, can I see the middle part? Like Gen Z?
Oh no, I don't want to. Don't do it.
Wait, are the Gen Z
doing
that?
Have you guys heard about this war?
Yeah.
What's going on?
It's fighting back.
The part's fighting back. It's going back to its normal side.
It's also hard to do this in verse.
Sure.
Wait, what's the war?
I hate it. I hate the way this looks so much.
Oh, man. Imagine if y'all was going to say, imagine when it actually gets there. It's getting closer to being middle, and when it gets there, it's going to be disturbing.
No, but it's like, it's enough, Greg, to where I hate it.
This is Man Meets World.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like
this is awful.
Eric Matthews.
Oh my
up.
God! No, dude, you know God what this is? Oh my God, this is. Oh gosh, what's his name from American Pie? The really, really bad actor.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like a the football, the jock.
Shermanator?
Right?
Yeah, the jock.
Oh, Chris Pine.
No.
What?
American Stifler. Jason Chris Biggs. Pine.
Is the character's name Chris Pine?
No, it's not. That's the actor's name.
He's in Dragon Ball.
Are you talking about Kevin Kline?
No, yeah. No, he's in a Chun-Li movie.
Chris Kline.
Chris Kline. Exactly
Chris
what I fucking said.
Oh, they
Greg,
said
did
Chris
you say
Kline.
Chris Kline? You'd have been right.
Like
you said Chris McGlover. You're an idiot.
That's what I thought.
You feel like Chris McGlover.
Okay, I apologize. It's I rescind my comment. Maybe I did say it. Maybe I'm just stupid.
So should I go middle part from now on?
No.
So that's the new cool thing, Nick. So there's a war brewing right now that is Gen Z versus millennials.
Yeah.
And it started on TikTok.
As a millennial, I got to get into that war. You know what I mean,
and
guys?
That's how this all goes, exactly, because the decades are stupid and nothing adds up correctly. And yeah, somehow Nick is technically debatably, are the year where 1980, no matter how you look at it, it's like, you might be or you might not be, but it doesn't matter. You're a cusper is what they call you.
Cusper?
Ew.
That sounds so dirty. Kevin, that's dirty. Yeah. Can you look up, Kevin, type in cusper nude and see what happens.
I'm cusping.
But Gen Z are coming through and they're saying that side parts are out. It's middle part or bust. And the crying laughy emoji, nah, they don't use that. They use the skull emoji because they're dead. From laughing so hard.
Oh, these fucking
and they don't wear
kids.
Skinny jeans. You can't wear skinny jeans.
Oh, I know. You know what I've been seeing a lot? The mom pants. The mom pants, which are like folded up with the socks, like a little high water, and they just wear like Keds everywhere. And I'm like, you're just so fucking.
Are men wearing long pants now?
What's that?
Are men wearing long pants now? Or mom pants?
No, this is just for females.
Oh no, guys do too.
Well, I mean, guys do things too, but I'm saying like these rules are specifically like the side part and stuff is not.
You know what? I'm glad because the only people that look good, the only dudes that look good with middle parts, K-pop members. That's it.
You don't think I'm rocking that look right now?
No, not at all.
What if I like how you have this flyaway you just left?
I can't. Yeah. It won't go.
There it is.
Oh God.
God, this seems like
get him a tight fitting black t-shirt and a silver chain. Let him go out there.
Yeah, let's start a boy band, Andy.
Just let him go out there.
Let him rock. Let him get out. Yeah, I'm sick
of us
getting.
I think people would
way.
Like what I have to say. I think they like my message and my sound. I'm finding my sound.
That's what people are looking for in K-pop.
Man, I hate this. I hate this. I look like I should be on a street corner screaming at people for no reason.
Yeah. When do you think you're going to trim the beard? When do you think you will trim the beard?
Probably this weekend. The problem is I keep getting into this this cycle where I remember to trim the beard like a day after we clean. And then I just can't.
I heard about
this
on the stream, I think, yeah.
Yeah, because then it goes like, oh, crap, this thing gets fucking everywhere. And you have to vacuum, and then you have to trim more, and then vacuum more, or else it's just there's hair all over the apartment. So I think I can get it trimmed now with a barber, but I don't trust them with this much hair. Because I don't know if you – like, my barbers always have – and Tim, probably you'll probably sympathize with me on this one. Generally, when you go, you're like, okay, this is what I want. You tell them what you want. You're like, can you trim it down just a little bit, but keep the girth here, and let's keep some of the fullness here so it sits. And they go, no problem. And then they just do the same beard cut. They always do.
Yep.
That's what I'm worried about. This thing took me like 6 months to grow out, and it's like the only
– You worked so hard.
It's the only thing that like I have in my life that keeps me warm. So
if you went
what
to
type
the
of statement is that?
If you
I'm always
to
so
the
cold, Tim, with the soda. The soda keeps me cold.
If you went to the barber today and magical genie's inside of the barbershop, genie took over, owns it now.
Hello, magical genie. How are you? It's good
to see you.
Yeah,
man. Hold on. Ring, ring. That's the door. That's the door.
Hello.
Ding,
hello.
Ding.
Hello. Welcome.
Hey, magical genie. I have to get my beard trimmed. And Andy said that you were in today.
Here's the rules. I took over the store. There's brand new rules for cutting hair now at this place. And I guess in retrospect, you could go to any other barbershop.
narrator here. The magical genie has taken over all barbershops.
Oh, wow.
He's omniscient. Okay. You know what I mean? You walk in there, you're talking to the genie, but you're talking to a genie that's also three doors down in another barbershop.
Got it. Okay.
Cool. Great band, too.
This is going to be the last haircut you ever get in your life.
Wow.
Wow. And that may sound fine, but what's the third rule? What's the thing that's going to fuck you as the genie? Me the genie. Your hair is going to grow over the course of your life at a much slower rate. So it's like how elves age really, really slowly.
They also don't have incest.
They also don't have incest, right. So essentially you're walking into the barber and they're like, this is the last haircut you're going to get. It better look good right now because it's going to grow super duper duper fucking slow for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And you have to plan accordingly. Mm-hmm. If you get a little too much, if you leave a little too much on the sides, that's just going to grow out and look like really weird if it ends up growing. You know, by the time you're 80, you're going to look like fucking weird, right? So shave that shit down probably. What's the final haircut you're getting? Because essentially, let's say your hair grows out from Nick's old self to right now. How long has it been, Nick? Months?
This has been probably, well, since the last time I got a real haircut after we decided that the mullet was a failed and beautiful experiment. It's been probably 4 months.
Right. So take those 4 months, turn that growth into, like, I don't know, the next 40 years. How slow it's going to grow. How do you cut your hair? Do you plan accordingly? Do you shave it all off in hopes that it's going to look decently by the time you're a certain age? What if you get to the age of 60 and you've been planning for a side part, and then turns out these Gen Zers are like, we're killing everybody with side parts.
What do you do?
The war got real.
Yeah. Oh, it got very, very violent. Yeah.
I would probably personally go for just super short. I would, because eventually it's all, I mean, now, can I ask this genie if I'm going to go bald? Like, is that going to be a thing, or does the hair stay the way?
Your beard too.
Same beard?
Same thing for your beard. Same applies to your beard.
Fuck, that's a lot. I would do probably half as short as the beard is right now and mohawk, because what's fucking cooler than an 85-year-old with a mohawk? You ever seen an 85-year-old with a mohawk? That guy fucking parties, right?
I've never seen it. You want to
drink some fucking natty ice with that guy.
I do want to drink some natty ice with that guy.
You know what's really, really weird? Also, when I was coming up with the rules and I said 40 years, I was like, oh, Nick will be 80 in 40 years. I hadn't considered that. I was going to say 60. I was like, wait, no, that's probably too late.
Oh, man, yeah.
Probably too late.
Yeah, true. Andy, Nick's really old, don't forget.
Okay. It's not...
You're the only thing that keeps him warm. The only thing that keeps him warm in his life is his beard. That's a statement from 10 minutes ago.
Because yeah. I would go as short as I would cut it when I was in elementary. It would be a zero on the sides, all the way around a zero, faded into just barely enough on top. Like I'm talking probably the shortest Tim's ever had it. Well, mm-hmm. shaved your hair recently, so not really, but. You know what I mean? Just extremely short on top. Maybe like a five, five's way too short.
Like so short that it looks like your friend cut it.
Because I don't want to look like shit
so
now.
So just to make sure I understand the genie who owns all the barbershops.
Yeah, yes. He's very complex, Greg. So please, can you write this down on some sort of whiteboard?
It's
your
last haircut, and then your hair will just continually grow from that point forward. Very slow.
But you can't ever cut it ever again.
No.
So like eventually, 85-year-old Nick would have an incredibly long mohawk, but then also flowing hair coming down the sides.
I would put it back in multiple ponytails and then one ponytail.
Shit, it's going to look like shit, Greg, is what he does. Yeah.
Just making sure.
Yeah, because it'll be
Nick was
pretty
like,
lengthy
you ever
on
seen
the
an
sides,
85-year-old though. With a mohawk, I'd want to drink Natty Ice with him. And I was like, I don't think he has a mohawk at that point. I think he has a really fucked up haircut.
Good point. So at that point, you're just going to hopefully... So I guess at that point, then maybe just I would go super short. I would just
trim
it down.
It'll be like this long on top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe longer. And then on the sides like this, it'll be ugly.
It's going to be terrible.
But
my question too. If the genie presents me with this, am I allowed to say, you know what, I'm good, and just walk out and like Jen keeps cutting my hair?
You're already in. You can't get out.
No, this is the final haircut. This is the final countdown.
The dust has been sprinkled on your forehead.
Why wouldn't I just shave my head then and just have it grow back like that? I don't understand.
You can't.
Because then you're going to not look good
for
a lot of
20 years.
You'll
have a shaved head for at least
during your best years. And that's the problem.
And if you shave your head, it's going to grow evenly for the rest of time. It's gonna look like garbage.
Yeah, like that's what we're balancing here.
Does it look like garbage? Like I wonder about this sometimes. So if I shave my head down and just let it grow, this is my question for Kevin. Actually, this is a good question for Kevin, because Kevin lets his hair grow out. Kevin, do you get it trimmed to look the way it is right now, or do you just let it grow?
Nah, man, I just let it grow, man. You gotta let nature ride wild. You know what I'm saying?
But did, but you but started with sort of like
bald though.
That's yeah, right. You, exactly. You started you with sort of
nature. Yeah, I, here's the thing. Like, I'm living Andy's exact scenario where they gave me a good haircut and I was like, good enough. Walked away.
Sticking with it.
And then yeah. The only thing is time. Time has moved normal speed for my hair.
And actually, Kevin, I think I'm the one who gave you that haircut.
No, I cut it. I cut it. I cut it since then. But you're right.
Let this go, Kevin. What? Are you going full Kevin Wolverine with it again?
I mean, you've seen it. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I know. But my question is, how long are you going to let it go? Can I ask you? Okay, so, let me dial it back. Are you going to let it go until Paula tells you you have to get a haircut? Is that how 100%. This works?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the trick. She can't right now, though, because like we're not going to get my haircut in a pandemic. Like, I'm going to wait till it's done.
Not worth the risk.
Yeah, exactly. Wait till it's done.
Because there was a moment where you were full on like Mel Gibson from Lethal Weapon 2, where it was like amazing when you first grew the hair out like this.
I mean, it's longer than it's ever been right now.
Let me see it. Let me see it. Put your camera on. Don't be a coward.
It's
incredibly wrong.
Put your camera on.
Long is what I meant to say. My tongue.
Wrong is good too. It's so long.
I took one of those, you know, the 10-minute naps where that last 20 minutes and you wake up and you're like, oh, fuck, the show's supposed to go live right now. And then your tongue's all swollen and you have trouble getting words out right because you got mud mouth.
That was me this morning.
By the nickel.
You got mud mouth.
Mud mouth this morning.
Nick taught me that today. I really like it, Nick.
I get it when I'm really tired. I go, my mouth just can't keep up with my brain. It's fun.
Yeah, I've doubled God down on caffeine. These brimless hats. My best friend hit me up and was like, hey, you know that... What?
It was just a great non sequitur. That was just a great non sequitur.
No, it's not a non sequitur. It's connected to my hair where it's like, because I have the problem where I put my hair up in a bun. So
good. This is what I don't. This is what I mean. All kidding aside,
it's too hot.
I know,
it's too much. Kevin has never looked better than his wedding by a long shot.
No, and I think his hair is fucking amazing. The end of right time now.
That like he that was a one and done. Kevin just all of a sudden was the hottie McHottie that he was at his wedding, and then he's just like, you know what?
Him I'm and going Spencer, back to the sexy long
hair.
Brothers.
Which, by the way, love the long hair, Kevin. Not hating on the long hair. Thank I you. Think it's great. I think it fits Thank your personality you. Fantastically. But. Your wedding haircut proved to me that there's a side of you that I didn't believe in.
Tim, I was it's also like cool to have a friend with long hair. You know what I mean? Longer than that, or more than that, I think.
Yeah, but
like, I can't have short hair and be fat. It just doesn't. It doesn't go together. Like the long
thing is
hair
this:
though,
when you have great hair, you can do whatever the fuck you want. Go ahead, Kev.
I was gonna say I did make the mistake that I can't walk away from now. Where I was like, you know what? I'm going to shave my beard off. It's gotten tremendously long. I'm tired of my mom telling me it looks like pubes.
Yeah, I've been there.
So I went, grabbed my razor, went, and I was like, fuck. That was the wrong setting. Took off too much.
Yeah. Oh, no. When was this?
Yeah, I noticed
this
that.
This is like 3 days
ago. Was this recent?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Let me see it.
Oh, yeah. No,
pop the camera off. Let me see it. I haven't noticed.
Let us see. Too many steps. Okay. And then not only that, when you guys shave, like, you know, when you go down trim, what do you do, like, right underneath your lip, your lower lip? Because usually...
Underneath?
Yeah, right?
Oh, I take the guard off, I'll trim it up at, like, an angle.
No, that's... You guys so are doing I usually top take this lip. Pretty... I'm talking about,
oh,
like,
right here?
Right under... Yeah, right? I take off just the little top, so I have that little triangle going up, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do that, too.
Okay, I fucked up. I took
shaved
off that...
the holes here.
Yeah. I
took oh my God! You have an Abe Lincoln.
I took off the triangle too, yeah. So that I just had this like round mess under my lip.
No.
And I was like, "Well, what do I do?" So I took off a little God bit more it. Of the corners to yeah. like to make the
to like line it up.
It's That's a and then I feel, problem. I feel just, bad. It, yeah, I feel
it
bad.
It just multiplies.
Things aren't good, guys. Things aren't good.
Kevin, since you don't want to turn on your camera, throw up the image of you I put in random from
I
earlier.
I
want
to do that.
Because I think we see a little bit of your hair there. We see a little bit of your lip there. I think that'd be perfect for us.
Hold on, let me see random.
It's funny. One of my friends reached out and was like, oh, my God, this FCF thing that you guys going on is ridiculous. Like, how did you guys come to your name? How's this logo? And I was like, well, because
the milk mommies.
I was like, the world is a bunch of fucking cowards, and we were going to be the milk mommies. But they wouldn't let us because they don't get that joke, and neither do we.
Now for the record, the people who weren't going to let us were us. No one stopped.
Yeah, we're
fucking here. You go. So now, what did you do here to your bottom lip, Kevin? What did you do?
Where'd you get this still from? This is great.
This is Kevin's cameras froze while we were coming off stream today.
Oh, that's a bad one. That's a bad one.
I mean, it started to grow back. Is the good God the blessing here? Hold on, right. Let me see. Right monitor.
So, I mean, I think it looks fine, Kev. So, it's gonna grow back out. Yeah, it's short enough, so it's not gonna matter.
You can see my mouse. Yeah. So basically, hair grows here, right? Usually, yeah. I just patch. Shave. Yeah. Well, but it's kind of like a little bit more. It's like right there, right? It's most of the. So I got rid of that little bit. Him. And I leave this little triangle right here. You see it?
Yeah.
But I went too far. Took that off too. Yeah. So then I came in here and I took a little extra off right here, and a little extra off right here.
Yeah, kind of just dangerous territory.
A little faux triangle here, and boy, did it not work. It did not work. Oh,
it's one of those things where like everyone has the hangups of themselves, right? I would have never noticed this. I've never noticed that part of your beard before, and I doubt anyone else would. But if it's important to you, it's also important to me. Dialing it back for a second, I do want to talk about
before
this.
You do that. I can't move on without at least pointing out the fact that Kevin was talking about this, and he goes the flavor saver, which is disgusting when you think about what he's implying.
Really
about. Nick then needs to go in and say stinky pinky. We can't just let that slide. We can't. It is my job on this podcast to call Nick out on the things that he just says.
Me and Andy like to slip him in under our breath sometimes and see who notices.
He told me about it. I got a flavor saver from Nick. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, lollipop.
Give me some lessons.
Speaking of the flavor saver, he's the Hispanic heartthrob Texas treat, Latino heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds. The globe-trotting, head-shotting nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
I'll tell you what, I should have been doing this Photoshop of Nick with my drawing tablet. It is not working out on my mouse with just the mouse. It is not looking how I want it to look.
What are you trying to Photoshop him to be?
I was trying to Photoshop him with the Viking beard and then with the long sort of like shaved with just one, like, it's a mohawk, right? Picture a really, really long mohawk, but
I'm shutting my eyes. I'm seeing a long mohawk.
There's no product in it, Greg. So it's just kind of falling
over to one
side.
A horse's mane, basically.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I'm down for that. And you do know that I don't have that much hair, right? Like, if I shaved a mohawk, it would look like people plucked a lot of my hair out, and it was just like a dying chia pet, basically.
Chia.
Don't say that, Nick. That's what you think. That's not the case. It looked great.
Thanks, Kev. And those was going to say, Kev. Did you need to introduce Tim still? Did you get to Tim already?
Forbes 30 under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the verified one, at Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host. Nick, please go on.
This is what I'm going to say. Kevin, you're doubling down on the brimless hat thing. That is what it is. We're not going to pass judgment on that. You feel comfortable. Great. It's insulting to me.
Doing the judgment on the last week.
We did. That was last week, Greg. We moved beyond it. That was catharsis. We moved beyond it. You embarrassed him in front of a bunch of people. How dare you? Shame on you. What I'm going to say is this, though, and this is the same thing I said to Tim when he shaved his head. It's so unnecessary and kind of insulting to people who are losing their hair a little bit that you take that beautiful hair of yours and you put it in one of those hats. Just let it go.
No, but that's the point. Wait, hold on. You're misunderstanding. The brimless hat is to have the hair down. Because I normally have it up on a bun, but I have it up. It's too much, Nick. I need something to keep it out of my eyes.
It has to be held back. It has to be contained.
No, you got to let that thing fucking get out there and run with the lions.
Let it ride.
Let it fucking ride. I want to see. I know it makes the back of the neck sweaty because you said that you used to say that. I was like, okay, that's just a Kevin thing. Then I had the mullet for a second. I was like, it fucking does. It makes the back of your neck sweat a little bit.
It's a wet situation.
It's a little gross. But your hair gets the perfect volume and flow, and then you get the levels, right? So level one is here. Then you get level two, which comes down below. And now you're almost at Mel Gibson level three, which is like you could do multiple ponytails.
The racism is just like...
Oh, yeah. Like, you're about to drink a lot and get pulled over and say some shit.
That's not a joke that I want to agree with. Nope.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Kind of Funny podcast. Each and every week, twice a week, usually four best friends gather on this microphone to bullshit with each other about whatever it is they want to bullshit about. For some reason, you love that bullshit and you want to bullshit with us, so you bullshit over on patreon.com/kindoffunny. On patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can write in with your topic. topics to be part of the show. You can get the show ad-free. You can get it with the exclusive post-show we do. And you can watch it live, just like Mark Freeman is, Kyle is, Mark. Mike L is, Cameron Kennedy is, Lexi G is.
Cam, what up, Lexi?
Of course.
Wait, I got a bone to pick with Lexi, by the way, because she wasn't here last week.
Oh, shit.
So.
Go for it. Everybody in the chat, we are asking you to clear comms. Clear comms until Nick and Lexi hash this out.
Now, I can't see what she's writing, so I'll just assume she's responding very positively to what I'm about to say.
So you're right, Nick. You're right.
In the spirit with which it was intended.
Well, real quick, she said, damn it, no. that's where this went to start from.
Lexi, ever since I started doing the morning show, back when this company was fledgling and needed help, you've been in the chat. I look forward to your name. I look forward to seeing it there. It wasn't here last week. Greg made the mistake of shouting it out, and now it's been haunting me. I haven't slept in 2 weeks.
You did. I didn't. You shouted it out.
I haven't slept. Tim shouted it out. Tim Getty's been kind of funny. He shouted it out. All I'm saying is this. We rely on you. You're the backbone of this company. I'm putting all the responsibility of our future success on you. So if you're not in podcasts from now on, and this company one day fails, that's your fault. That's on you.
That's on you, Lexi.
We're going to need a note from your doctor. You can email Nick a note from your doctor if you're going to have to. If you can't
it can
make,
be written
in
crayon, too.
You can't make a podcast. Nick needs to be notified ahead of time. All right.
Thank you.
A lot of responsibility.
Since she said, damn it, no, she said nothing else. So
she's internalize it. Internalize it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, no, people are talking about it a lot, but yeah. Cameron Kenny just says, damn, Lexi, that's fucked up. if you got no books to toss, no big deal. You can wait and go over to youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe twice a week to get a brand spanking new episode, often with guests. Who is this week's guest? I forget. And this I don't have the calendar open. Oh, it's the new voice of Cleveland. Yeah. I don't have it open. Andy, go look at the calendar and tell me his name while I tell you about housekeeping. Remember, with fun clips from our Twitch are up right now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Roger Pokorny is our newest hire. He edits these Twitch streams into a funny little video, oftentimes making fun of Nick, sometimes making fun of me.
I stopped watching them. They're too good. They're so good, but they're such fucking good burns that I'm like, my ego can't take this. I got to stop.
Arif Zahir.
That's right. We'll be joining us this week on the Kind of Funny podcast. He is the new voice of Cleveland on Family Guy. So get questions in on patreon.com/kindoffunny for him. Yeah. Thank you to our Patreon producers. For the last time, these are our people who supported us in January. You'll have a new, on the guest episode, you'll have the February ones. That, you know what I mean? You know, anyways. Graham of Legend, David Mintel, Recasted Podcast, Food Kid Fat City, Joy, a.k.a. Joseph Oyusef, Aaron Not Aaron, Willie D. Billums, Alexander Noxel, Julian the Gluten-Free Gamer, Danny Rodriguez, Javi Rodriguez, King Vin, Tyler Wodan, Corey Wallerstead, Devin Holbrook, James Davis, a.k.a. at James Davis Makes, Greg, 2 G's in the front, 2 G's in the back, The Nanobiologist, DJ Kento, Ricky L. Wanger, Caesar Palafox, Devin Carter, Steve Powers, Mark Freeman, Andrew C., Pizza Burgers, Ryan Trimble, Kieran O'Donnell, and Keith A. Lewis. Today, we're brought to you by MeUndies. But first, what were you giggling at, Tim? What'd you giggle at?
Let's get to him now.
Pizza Burger.
It's good.
You want to get to what, Andy?
Kevin, can you clear something up for me?
Oh, yeah.
The other day, I brought up my excitement for whatever this Henry Cavill Mass Effect thing was. And
yes.
You said it was Photoshopped.
No.
Cleared up?
Done.
Cleared up.
Bye.
No, you said it was something. It wasn't a movie. It was thing, though.
I said that they were filming...
Witcher 3.
Like a commercial or something?
Witcher Season 2. Right. And then someone had stated earlier, I think it was Greg Miller, had read it from the chat, that the words that he was reading was exactly like the Wikipedia for Mass Effect.
That was from the article we read on Games Daily.
So I was saying they printed out a piece of paper, and that's what he's reading. But that doesn't mean he wasn't having a secret meeting. Also, here's my hair. It's hard with the headphones to see it in its full strength, but I mean it's really, really long.
It's going, dude.
It's fucking going, man.
Hold on, sorry. Is it on the stream? I thought you were.
Yeah, it's on the stream.
Because I'm
it's amazing. Yes, that's beautiful.
I misunderstood Kevin saying that as that the photo that was being sort of shared around, that somebody altered it, making it seem like Henry Cavill's post, and it was just a Wikipedia article, thus sort of showing that the Mass Effect thing was not a real thing.
Glad we could sort it out.
Glad we sorted it out, everybody. I'm glad we sorted it out. Because I feel a lot better now. Very excited.
But because... let's...
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you feel better because why?
It's fucking hard, man. It's not that hard to just let
you feel better. Why do you feel better? Why do you feel better? Why do you feel better? Just tell me why you feel better. But I feel better because why do you feel better? Because
feel better that it's a real thing, and we can, you know, maybe we can, you know, talk about who else should be in the Mass Effect movie. Just trying to do a show, you know.
But I wanted to go. I mean, like, I mean, do you think it's going to be a Mass Effect movie? You think that's what it's going to be?
As Adney's representative, he is done talking about the subject. We can now move on. We can now move on to questions about the new Superman reboot starring
Sam Bird. Writes into patreon.com/kindoffunny just like you can. It says, with rumors finally being confirmed earlier today that J.J. Abrams is working on a new Superman movie, most likely a reboot, what kind of Superman movie would you guys want to see? If Henry Cavill does not return, do you have any thoughts on who should be cast as the new Man of Steel? Ladies and gentlemen, of course, this is breaking as we record this Friday. It popped earlier with the J.J. Abrams news. Then rumors began that it might be a black Superman movie. We're going to go to the Hollywood Reporter, who as of right now seems to have the most comprehensive recap of everything that's going on. So we go to the Hollywood Reporter, where Boris Kitt and Aaron Couch write, J.J. Abrams is producing the feature, which, according to sources, is being set up as a black Superman story. Acclaimed essayist and novelist Ta-Nehisi, did I say that right, you think?
Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Ta-Nehisi.
Yeah, I'm it's have to spelled know this like Ta-Nehisi, but I've always heard it as Ta-Nehisi.
Ta-Nehisi Coates.
I don't know.
Has been hired to pen the script for a feature reboot of Superman that will be produced by J.J. Abrams. Quote, to be invited into the DC Extended Universe by Warner Brothers, DC Films, and Bad Robot is an honor, said Coates in a statement to Shadow and Act, a website dedicated to the African diaspora in the arts. I look forward to meaningfully adding the legacy of America's most iconic mythic hero. There is a new, powerful, and moving Superman story yet to be told. We couldn't be more thrilled to be working with the brilliant Mr. Coates to help bring that story to the big screen. And we're certainly we're beyond thankful for the team at Warner Brothers for the opportunity, said J.J. Abrams in the statement to SNA. According to sources, the project is being set up as a black Superman story. This is something that the studio has been trying to wrap its head around for months, if not a year or two. Michael B. Jordan tried to develop a black Superman project when he first arrived at the studio with his deal in 2019, but that did not go very far at the time, according to sources. It is possible that the studio could return to him to start down the line. Coates is a superstar author whose books include We Were 8 Years in Power, An American Tragedy, The Beautiful Struggle, The Water Dancer, and Between the World and Me, the latter of which was adapted by HBO. In the comic book space, he has worked on Captain America and Black Panther, with Disney's Bob Iger crediting his influential run on the latter in the decision to greenlight the groundbreaking film starring Chadwick Boseman. Superman first flew onto the big screen with Richard Donner's 1978 film Superman the Motion Picture, which starred Christopher Reeve. The actor appeared in three subsequent films, with Brandon Routh donning the cape for 2006 Superman Returns, and Henry Cavill stepping into the role for Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, Justice League, and Justice League again. This is the first DC feature known to be underdeveloped under Abrams' expansive Warner Media deal, but he has several DC series in the works for the streaming service on HBO Max, including Justice League Dark and Constantine. Timothy Geddes.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to see out of this Superman flick? What do you think of the news?
I am excited by this news, and I want to see what they have to tell me. I hope that it's no names. I hope that it's people that we don't know, and I hope that this is a very different take on a Superman and just, like, do something new, do something different. We've seen similar things a bunch of times, and I think that we need to move on from that. Obviously, they'd be like, oh, they've been thinking about the last 2 years. Wonder why. Black Panther. It was a hit. It worked. Good. Learn from that. You know, make some, like, good choices based off of that.
Yeah, that would be the thing about it, right, where, as usual, DC, I feel, DC films, so reactionary to what MCU's done and what they've seen and the success they've seen. Yeah, the hope here would be you do this in a way that doesn't feel like you're just trying to chase that. And that's not to say they're having Black Superman, of course, Val Zod, Calvin. Like, there's been Black Supermans to wear the shield or whatever. That's fascinating to me and interesting to me, and I think an interesting way out of their problem, which of course is that Superman is boring. Superman's invulnerable to everything. Superman is just this thing we've seen a gajillion times because in many ways you've had, and you've seen it done incredibly poorly. The idea of whatever's going to happen at Flashpoint, right? Whatever is going to happen here with the Batman, with the DCEU, with Flashpoint or the Flash movie, having Michael Keaton back as Batman, him becoming Bruce Wayne and Batman instead of Ben Affleck, all that different stuff. If they're about to introduce the multiverse for DC and really drive it home on the silver screen in the way they have, obviously, with the Arrowverse and the Flash having the crossover with Ezra Miller and stuff like that, I feel like this is a great chance to leave Cavill, who, you know, and obviously opinions vary person to person. I would think, especially in our world, most people don't like the Snyderverse and what the DCEU is and yada, yada, yada. I'm with all of you. Obviously, I've said a million times, like, I like the movies fine, but it wasn't the movie I would make. I feel Henry Cavill got a bad rap. I think he's a good Superman. I think he looks the part. I think he can play a good Clark and a good Kal-El, even though I don't think he's given the opportunity often to. I think you have a chance to leave him over there and leave that side of the DCEU going, but then introduce something else in the same way the Batman isn't what's happening in the DCEU. And again, as always, DC and Warner Brothers, and when it comes to movies, seem to be running around with a chicken with their head cut off, not having a vision for a universe. But if you can go out and tell cool stories and take the characters and introduce new characters in a cool way, I think that could work. Andy?
Nick?
Go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, I totally agree with everything you guys are saying. I think it's a really cool concept. And I'm very glad that they found a writer for it that has a comic book lineage, because that's always the thing I worry about when someone announces that they're going to do a movie and I look at the writers and they have nothing to do with anything that has anything remotely to do with comic books. I'm like, great, this guy doesn't understand the heart that's supposed to go into these things. Mm. The only really concerning point I have on this is that if you're starting something new and it's going to be a broad series, having J.J. Abrams potentially be the overseer of it has not gone great for him for the last two things that he's done. So if Bad Robots is producing, it would just be one of those things where I'm like, what's the plan, J.J.? Because sometimes you're great at starting, you're not so great at finishing these things. What's going on? Are we going to go? Is this?
I think that's totally fine. I think a lot of the J.J. Abrams name being attached to it is you have this production company to do with it. Yeah, I'm a producer in the same way that, you know, Bernie Burns was named as a producer on everything Rooster Teeth did, you know, even though he wasn't directly involved with everything. I think J.J. Abrams will be a part of it, but I think he knows, all right, Ta-Nehisi, he knows the comics, he knows what he's doing. I'm going to step aside and just let it go. I think it's nothing more than just a name attachment to it.
But that's okay. I mean, I understand that, but then it's like, it's a waste, unfortunately, similar to how they wasted the Nolan's name attached to the trilogy that came before. That just was like, there's no way Christopher Nolan had anything to do with that. And I know people have said that he had, but I'm like, I don't buy that guy, a filmmaker of that caliber, looked at that final cut and was like, yeah, put my name on that bad boy.
Looked at that check, baby.
Yeah, he looked at those. He bought five houses with that. He's just fucking skateboarding back and forth because he's like, I can do it. I'm above 30 and Nick can't stop me.
That's exactly what he said.
Exactly. Andy, no. Sorry, what were you going to say before I cut you off?
I agree with you all. I want to see a good story. I want it to be a good movie. I mean, there's nothing more to say than I just want this to be a win under the DC category. I want to have something good and wholesome. I think if they just look at how the internet reacted to Clark and Lois, or what's the show that you
Superman
just
and Lois.
Superman and Lois. I think just look at how the internet reacted to that. Look at that one clip of him saying, my mom made the suit for me, and how much everybody lost their shit because finally Superman is acting the way we want him to. He's a normal human being. He's not this analogy for Jesus or whatever. He's just a normal person who wants to do good and be happy.
Because I don't know if you understood that, Tim, if you remember.
It's very subtle.
He punches out the wall and does this as he falls back.
It was very subtle.
Looking at his dad and then turning around.
I see what you thankfully, Greg, in Batman v Superman. Maybe Greg was right, guys.
Yeah, thankfully that was the only one. That was the only Christ imagery they used in the whole series. That one. Just
they stabbed him with a spear. You know what I mean? That was that.
Yeah,
was
Justice League, we have Joker. Just those two things. Joker looks like fucking Jesus Christ.
At the end of Justice League,
this is going to be awesome.
Martian Manhunter is going to come down from the skies. Jesus as well. Like, everybody.
Everyone's Jesus.
Everybody gets a Jesus analogy.
Oh my God, I know.
Yeah, I just want the movie to be good and wholesome, right? We need we need it to be fun. We need it to warm your heart. We need to have emotional beats.
Yeah.
And it makes me sad that Henry Cavill did get such a bad rap and such a, you know, he got the shit on the stick, man. He got stuck with a bunch of movies that could have been better. And I would love to see him be Superman again. Maybe he, because there's one thing that kind of interested me about the initial tweet I saw about it, that it said, Ta-Nehisi Coates is going to be writing. It's J.J. Abrams producing. In quotes, it said, Henry Cavill's eager to get back into the suit.
Yeah.
And then this story makes it seem like it's going to be a totally different Superman. It's going to be a black Superman, most likely, is what it seems like. Completely. See, that was great. And
the story I read didn't mention that part of it, but
I hope that's part? The case because, oh, yeah.
The, potentially changing the race of Superman. I
yeah, the Deadline article here, it was Nibel in our sphere that went big. And it was, yeah, Deadline, J.J. Abrams to produce Superman reboot for Warner Brothers in D.C., script written by Coates, quote, Henry Cavill is eager to step back into the cape. Let me find if they have that quote in
here. It's more just because I love Henry Cavill as a person. I want him to be happy. I want him to feel,
yeah, see,
you know.
Deadline saying no plot yet and no attachments, despite the fact that we've heard how Henry Cavill is eager to get back into the cape.
Got it. Got
see, that's
it.
What you call a misleading. Yeah, exactly. A misleading tweet over there where, yes,
I don't know why.
Henry Cavill has said he'd love to do more Superman stuff since, like, it's that thing where he's quiet about it forever and then has said publicly since they seem to have made better with Snyder on the Justice League shit. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He had that one moment where people were like, does he want out of this, right? And then now he's like doubling down with all the PR blitz and being like, no, I like being Superman. I love it. So
I don't even know if that, like, I can't fault the guy. Like, again, like, he's told, like, you know, he's in these movies.
He could have gone full Ben Affleck and just been like, nope, I don't want to do this shit anymore.
Exactly.
It's too
hard. He's in these movies, yeah, that, like, you know, people don't like. And it's like, not his fault. He didn't fucking write him. He's working out and he's giving you a smile on Superman when they'll allow him to smile on camera and shit. Like, I understand why it, and yeah. I just don't think the problem is Cavill with those movies, where it's like, I'd love to see him. Definitely, like, I always talk about, you know, as bad not. as I as much as I did not like Justice League, when he shows up and is allowed to be, I'm a big fan of Justice, I'm also a big fan of Truth. Like, none of that totally fits with the movie or the universe or yada, yada, yada. But it's nice to see a colorful Superman suit and see him smile. And it's weird with his fucking CG lip and all that shit. But, like, hey, when he runs down the fucking alleyway and rips open the suit, I'm like, nah, that's pretty fucking
That's fun. True, because I've always sort of looked at Cavill as sort of a so-so Superman. Like, to be perfectly honest, I've never thought he's 100% nailed it, but I've never seen it from your perspective here, Greg, where he really hasn't been given a lot of great pages to work with.
That's my
really
thing, flexes. Dude.
Yeah.
If you step back and, like, just look at it, you're like, oh, he's a so-so Superman, I would argue the Snyderverse Superman is a Superman.
Yeah.
Is a so-so Superman.
Definitely.
So it's like, well, yeah.
Definitely. Like, I mean, like, I
did you watch Superman and Lois?
I have not.
Yeah, like, it's I mean, like, first off, like, it's the thing of Tyler Hoechlin's introduction into the CW as Superman, right? And I'm talking about years ago now, but when they first introduced him and he stops the thing, he's smiling, he takes a selfie with a dad and son he saves, right? And it's like, everybody's like, holy shit, like, this is what we've been starved of this entire Snyderverse. Mm-hmm. And Superman and Lois is more of that. It is exactly what you're talking about, Andy. And
same,
I think it
character,
was,
same. This is like a continuation. Same,
yeah, 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 exactly, exactly. But yeah. I mean, like, it's more doubling down on, look, he's happy to be Superman and he works with people and he smiles and he's helpful. And yeah, yeah. It is that thing of, like, you know, Goldfarb tweeted that the first, holy shit, like, the first 5 minutes of Superman and Lois did more to make me care about this character than any of the movies that have happened recently or ever. And it's because, yeah, it's him doing this narration and it is the origin story, you know, but him hitting the important beats and then, yeah, him in the fucking Max Fleischer suit, right? And, like, you know, smashing the car, like, action one and then talking to the kid and, like, thanks, my mom made it for me. And he flies away, like, it's fucking awesome. And then that throughout that show, like, I think him and Bitsy, you know, Lois Lane, if you didn't know,
yeah,
Bitsy, we have cool friends. Well, I know you know. I'm talking to the audience. Go watch We Have Cool Friends we did with Lois Lane, who's in this Superman show. Like, their chemistry is so good and their characterization of the characters is so good. And I think the show overall, I loved it. Like, I want to watch more of it, but it's definitely, it's a higher caliber than most of the CW shows and effects and everything else. There's a lot of stupid and questionable things in it. You're like, whatever, that you can check aside. But, like, them, Clark and Lois, Superman, like, I dig everything they've done there. And it's like, yeah, fuck yeah, let's go.
And it's so interesting, though, because when I read this article, I was like, oh, they're potentially rebooting it. But I guess, obviously, they're not going to do that because that would be probably a huge loss of profits for Warner Brothers. But if Yeah, it's so interesting if they were to reboot it and they did have that lighter tone. Because when you think they're going to do a Superman movie, right? When you think you're if I said, Greg Miller, I'm going to give you the reins to basically taking over these, you're going to do a Superman movie, you're going to start with that, not Man of Steel. Your first instinct has to be, let's make this character wholesome, let's make him the character we know. And then when we do the one-off what-if movies, then you can go with a darker tone, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why it's interesting what I would think they would do here, right, with this reboot, and if it is a Black Superman or if it's not. But, like, especially for the Black Superman, I think it would be one of the most interesting avenues to success, where if it was that, hey, DCEU has Clark Kent and it has that Superman, and you didn't really like it because it's dark. We are going to pivot and tell a more hopeful, happy version of Superman, but you get to go in there and tinker with what the abilities are and how strong he really is. Yeah. And for a lot of people, write a brand new legacy of, I mean, you're not going to call him Clark, right? I don't know if you're going to pull from Calvin Ellis. I couldn't remember Calvin's last name, or if you're going to pull from Val Zod or whatever. Like, there's different things you can go do to
fucking rad name,
go in there and guess what? Have a blank check and write whatever you want and make it be like, boom, here's what it is. And this is how we're going to go and have people come out of there being like, oh, it'll suck for the fictional character of Superman and Clark, but like, oh, he's way more interesting because he's weak. Oh, he's way more interesting because he has flaws like that. Yeah. I think personally Superman has, but he's been poorly represented to have.
I agree. I think it's cool. I think it's very exciting. And I think that shows that DC is really going to try to stretch out and do some stuff that we maybe aren't thinking about, which is cool.
I do really like, I hadn't even thought that as a possibility, Greg, that they could just rewrite the character to be something different that isn't necessarily the Superman that we love.
My belief here is that it will not be Clark Kent in any way. And it won't be Clark Kent, and it also unless won't be some like it. Wink and nod that it's like whatever. I'm trying to think of a CK name. You know what I mean? I'm not even saying they would do that. It'll be like its own thing, and this person is Superman in this universe and whatever they're doing.
And I think that's super important too. Like, I especially with what Greg's talking about here about like these movies have been so dark and stuff. Like, I don't think we're ever going to get a super happy, like everything's good Superman, like the Christopher Reeves type ones, right? Like, just the world, I don't think is looking for that type of movie. That, like, when you look at just what are successes in blockbusters, like those aren't really it. You know what I mean? So I'm really interested in seeing what DC strategy is like going forward. Like, obviously, you know, Joker was a standalone and it worked better than most of the DCEU movies, and they're trying to take that strategy of like, let's do more standalone things that may or may not connect, but that's not the point. The point is just make a good fucking movie.
Yeah.
And obviously at this point, I think all of us would unanimously vote to want that of just DC, just give us good movies. They don't need to connect, whatever. Just make them good. All we want is a good Superman movie, and we'd be happy with that, right? But I wonder if that allows for a kind of conscious mainstream understanding of, okay, well, DC movies mean this. So if they did have three back-to-back movies that were like, let's say Suicide Squad, the next one's good. And then let's say that, you know, this Batman or that the Batman's good. Like, at what point will people trust in the same way we just trust the MCU, where it's like, you know, Shang-Chi is going to happen, and we're like, we expect it to be good. We don't expect it to be bad in the way we do DCEU projects, where it's like, even with Flashpoint, sounds fucking cool, sounds fucking exciting. I think we'd be silly to expect it to be great at this point. I hope that it is, and I think that it can be, but based on everything they've done, the expectation, I think, is kind of a little bit more tempered. So I'm interested in, like, what if DC does kind of make a dope-ass Batman movie and a dope Superman movie and dope Suicide Squad movie, can they get to a point where that a Black Adam movie comes out and people expect it to be good?
You hope so, right? I think, again, the whole problem is, like, there is no Kevin Feige there. There is no person saying, hey, here's what the vision is. Here's what we've learned. Here's what we know. When we were talking about this earlier in the chat, I'm scrolling. It was Omega Buster was like, you know, spouting off me is a negative thing. I don't mean it that way. Was going off and iterating on some of the stuff we're saying, right? And being like, oh, yeah, well, they're not doing the universe anymore. They're doing this thing. And it's like, I remember when they said that, Omega Buster. I remember when they said, you know what? We're not worrying about the extended universe anymore. Instead, we're going to do these things. Then they said, you know what? We are making that Flash movie, and Ben Affleck's back for it, and we're going to bring in Michael Keaton, and we're going to do all these different things to explain a multiverse, which makes me totally think they're trying to play both hands. They're trying to play both sides of this, where, hey, guess what? If the Joker was great, the Batman should be great. Whatever other standalone movie we're going to have is going to be great. But if we can make Flashpoint make sense and we can reboot the universe, we can still have a world where Henry Cavill is Superman and it's not as dark and he's happier. And then we could have Black Superman over here, and then we could have the Batman over here, and then we could be in the extended universe and have Michael Keaton's Batman over here. And it wouldn't be the way they did Man of Steel, BVS, Suicide Squad, Justice League, right, where it is everybody's in the same thing, and it wouldn't be like necessarily a buddy cop thing where like fucking Wonder Woman and Michael Keaton are out to do a job or some shit. But you'd have that if you wanted that. I think that's what they're trying to get to, where they can have their universe that they maybe turned around or maybe made you understand or whatever the fuck they did with it, and then a thing where they can just go, you know what? And to the point too, Tim, this is a side note. I don't think, and Nick, you can correct me if I'm wrong, when I'm talking about a more smiling Superman and a more up, I'm not saying like it's all sunshine and roses, right? There were stakes in Superman the movie and Superman 2 and all that. It was just that there was also color and Superman smiled and blah 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 blah. And there was a more of a whimsy to it at times, but it was still like, I'm not saying it's all just Jim gee whiz, everything's fine. But I think if you do the Black Superman and you have Henry Cavill, then you could totally be like, you know what, we're going to tell a Action Comics number one Superman story that is Clark, and it is he can only leap over buildings. And you'd like, if they could get rolling in that way, I don't think they'll ever do that. But if they could, you'd have that arm of whatever the hell it is. And whatever, if you want to apply labels to it and have it like, that's not Black Label, but similar to Black Label, where an audience would understand that. But we're to a point where, again, there's just no one there to grab the wheel. And I thought when Geoff Johns got higher in the organization over there, he was going to be the guy. But no, the movies have not gotten better with Geoff Johns doing stuff. Tim,
I'll tell you what, really quick, just before you say your important thing, Tim, right now, Greg, you're giving off a lot of Kevin Feige vibes. I think you could fill the role. You got the hat.
Greg could do it.
Look at you right now.
Here's the thing. I have absolutely no talent for making movies, but I do think I could sit down and give you a 30-year plan to make some movies, and it would be pretty good. All right, I'm just saying out there. Give me a shot. You know what I mean? What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose at this point?
30 years is a long time.
I've told you before what the plan is, right? I've told you before.
I mean, the question is, 30 years from now, how long will his hair be, though? That's
exactly
the question.
COVID notwithstanding, right? I would just be like, cool, we're booking you, Henry Cavill, to a 1-year contract as Superman and to do films. You're like, oh, fuck, that's not that long. I'm like, no, you're for 12 months, we're shooting shit with you. We're going to make a million movies at once. I'm just kidding. We wouldn't do that. I didn't mean to talk myself out of the job, Warner Brothers. I'm still here. Tim?
Go ahead, Tim.
I just had a question for Greg about the comic side of things. Have you been keeping up with the
Future Slate?
The idea that DC might sell it.
Oh, I haven't heard this.
Really? I don't remember who I was. I was on some show that I had a top level conversation about this, but there's been a lot. Oh, it was Chris Anka with in Magic Mike. But
Magic Mike, that's right. I was like, I was on that show. I remember someone saying
yeah,
that.
Yeah. But it's this crazy thing over the last month, I would say, that it looks like DC, it looks like Warner Brothers is trying to sell the at the very least licensing to DC Comics. Not the movies, not the TV stuff, but DC Comics, comic books themselves. And there's a lot of different ways this could go nowhere. But it reminds me a lot of the Fox conversation a couple of years ago that was like, no way is this ever going to fucking happen. And here we are. Disney owns them, you know?
Yeah.
But from what I understand, top level is there are like that Warner is interested in selling the comic rights, and that there are groups of fans that have a lot of money that are pooling together to try to buy the rights together.
They're gonna own it. They're gonna own it like the Green Bay Packers.
Green Bay Packers? Yeah, yeah.
So it's weird. But like, yeah, apparently DC or Warner Brothers, sorry, I keep fucking this up. WB has went to other comic distributors and producers and tried to sell or whatever. And it sounds like those conversations didn't go that well.
Okay.
And so now it's like in the hands of just normal people, which on paper sounds cool, but then when you really start thinking about it, it's like, oh no.
Yeah. Greg, it's back to the same thing of like, disaster. Who would you, if it's ruling by committee and everybody having a different vision, right? You're in the chat here. Yeah. Kevin Lanez says that was a Bleeding Cool rumor. I have not heard that Bleeding Cool rumor, but that's interesting. Sorry, you were saying, Andy? You were trying to jump off that?
You mentioning earlier about what they could do with the universe if Flashpoint is a success.
Yeah.
I think just the scariest thing of all of this is that they don't know if these movies are going to be good. And sure. I feel like there's just such a confidence with these Marvel movies that they know we're going to put all these things out and then we'll do that because all these will be great.
Yeah.
Like there's just such a difference in, I guess, philosophy between the two companies where with DC, they're just hoping shit works. And if it does, maybe we then force a universe around those things that do work. And I would hate to work there. And I would just feel
you're
constantly walking on eggshells. You don't like these. It's possible that nothing ever works out. And then like, who knows what happens with DC movies? Are they going to reset it again? Do they try to find somebody to be sort of the voice of all of it that isn't Zack Snyder, you know?
Flash could be the solution to it all. And I don't mean like it's going to fix it. I mean the fact that if they are able to come out and nail, hey, guess what? It's a multiverse, which again, isn't even that crazy anymore. Marvel's been doing such a great job with time travel and then, you know, the Infinity Stones and different timelines. And now whatever the fuck's going on in Wanda and what will happen to Doctor Strange, it's not insane. But if DC's movie was able to be like, basically, again, what CW's already done with Crisis on Infinite Earths, but in a movie stage, be like, guess what? Yep. We're, you know, Flash is running through into a different dimension or multiverse. He's run into Michael Keaton. This is then they're going to do, you know, the quick montage or whatever of the other universes, you know, showing that those exist too, that all of this is here. All of this is on the plate. You can get whatever you want. And you can go from there. Like that would put them in a place that would at least give them the leeway to do whatever they want to do and be able to tell you what it is. But like, again, I don't think they have the vision for that, but I think it would give them the out card. I'm sorry, I let it go. I know both Nick and Tim want to go. It would give them the out card of, hey, guess what? Literally anything's on the table. You know, if somebody wants to come in and talk about a Red Sun movie, we can do it used to be that, you know, you were Superman and it was weird to have two Superman. Now we can have unlimited people putting on cape and going out and do their same thing for Batman. Sorry, Tim.
That just, yeah, I totally agree with you. And I mean, obviously we've talked about this a million times, but just the mainstream audience is now used to this stuff and they're only getting more and more used to it, where before it'd be like, oh, normal people know Guardians of the Galaxy. Now it's like normal people understand multiverse and they just totally understand it, and that's the end of that.
Thank you, Into the Spider-Verse.
But even before that, Days of Future Past. I think when you're talking about Flashpoint, about it potentially being good or whatever, I expect Flashpoint to be as good as Days of Future Past, which is, it's a lot of fun. And I think that when we look back at it in years after it comes out, we're not going to think it's that great. But at the moment, it's going to be like, oh, man, it's a bunch of things we love coming together. Like, this is fun. This is cool. But Days of Future Past, I left the theater being like, oh, my God, this is it. They're able to shed all the garbage and mm-hmm. move forward mm-hmm. in a mm-hmm. much better future, because, yes, there was a lot of bad, but they got their heads on straight. They understood what was wrong and they fixed it here. And then we got Apocalypse, and then we got Dark Phoenix, and mm-hmm. then we got New Mutants, right? And it's like, that to me is a future that, when if I had to bet, I'm looking at DCEU, specifically the EU side of it, and I'm like, I think it's going to go more that way than anything else with how they're riding on Flashpoint. Hope that I'm wrong, but I would love a future where Flashpoint happens, works, and then we're just getting a bunch of dope one-off stories, and then every once in a while a more extended universe, everyone's involved type thing. But I don't know, man. Especially because, like, by the point that all happens, like, we'll already be into MCU's multiverse, and like,
I was gonna say,
that's the thing. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Nick.
This multiverse stuff is very confusing for people, and I will disagree with you guys a little bit. We're like mainstream, quote unquote, people in our spheres who are not necessarily mainstream, who are hardcore into this stuff, understand that Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse was a thing. But I'm on the tip of that, and if they decide to dive that in with Flashpoint, and that becomes the thing that, quote unquote, allows them to do whatever they want, I think it's going to be very confusing. I think the reason why it's working for Marvel is because we know these characters. We've spent literally tens of, almost hundreds of hours at this point with these characters, and they've laid that foundation subtly and strongly with all of the development of these storylines, to the point where now if you're following along, you're like, I'm ready for this. I just always feel like, with what Greg was saying earlier, with DC and Warner Brothers playing catch up constantly, that they just haven't earned this. And we're gonna go right into it, and it's going to be a hot mess like everything else, and it's not gonna work, and it's going to be, and you know, it's just gonna be exactly what it is, because you can't, you know, you asked the question earlier, at what point do we feel like confident about these DC movies? when they've made 23 of them that are pretty fucking good. That's when I will go, you know what? I expect these to be good, but they've got a lot of ground to make up for, in my opinion.
And that's the thing where I think if I was a betting man right now and I'm saying, all right, cool, what does the Flash movie do and how does it set it up? I would say that the one thing you're going to see is, and this is based on, I guess, the rumors or whatever, so I'm kind of cheating or whatever, but if they got Michael Keaton for real to be the Batman DCE of the DCEU or whatever, I think that he'll be the only thing to be pulled from another universe and left in his universe. I think you're going to have a very Miles Gwen situation from Into the Spider-Verse with Flash and Supergirl. Of course, they just cast a new Supergirl. If you haven't gone and watched her video of her getting it, go watch it. It's so heartwarming whether you care about it or not. But just to see her cry, see her look so different from what, you know, Supergirl, you know, you think of when you think of the blonde hair and the white woman out there just doing her thing. Like, it's awesome. But what I think they've talked about how, you know, and a few of the things, they haven't talked a lot about the character and what she's going to be in Flash. But they've talked about the fact that she had such great chemistry with Ezra and that she came in for a bunch of those tests, which makes everyone who's heard about it think she's going to be very important. I think that they get pulled together early in the adventure, and it is very much like she's in the crest and he's like, I know Superman. She's like, she never met him. Kal-El died, whatever the hell it's going to be or whatever. And I bet by the end of the movie, they're set asunder by whatever the multiverse event here is. Again, there's other people. We've seen other universes, that, the other. And it's that thing where you get the pan around at the end, Nick, to your point of like it being confusing. You get the, you know, montage with the VO over it at the end that's showing Michael Keaton maybe with the current Justice League in the DCEU. It is Supergirl off in whatever universe she's in, two or three other characters we ran into tangentially doing their own things to establish like whatever the problem was with Flashpoint, it's done, it's over, and this is the new status quo, and these people can't get back to each other easily. And then you have it where there's going to be a Supergirl movie, and it'll be continuing her adventures, but it's not about this, that, and the other. And you kind of then get back to where DC wants to be of, the DCEU is a very specific thing, which is the shared universe Justice League stuff, and then everything else is out there and going and not necessarily interacting with each other, but it could if it wanted to.
Interesting. I mean, again, all of this could work if they do this well. You know, all this,
but for the record, none of us have any reason to believe they will do this well.
And let me be clear, by the way. So, I mean, we've said this before, but I'll say it 100%. I am obviously a curmudgeon when it comes to these things because I've been disappointed by where we're at up until this point. I will eat my fucking hat the day they come out with a great Superman movie. I will be overjoyed to do that. I will never enjoy being wrong more than when I sit in a theater and see a good DC movie come through and I'll applaud it and I'll cry just like the rest of us. But it's just like, you know, they're just not there yet, unfortunately.
I'd be interested for you to give Superman Lois Watch.
You know what? I want
CW app right now.
I'll give it a shot.
Sponsor or what?
Nah, I wish we could, Tim, work on that. You know what I mean? Because I'm watching it for free right now, but I'll watch it for money.
Well, that's the other problem, right? Yeah, exactly. I'll give it a watch. Is it? It's on CW, right? So it's on television. So I should be able to get it on demand if I like.
It's on one of the 19 streaming services that you also got.
CW app, all that jazz. Yeah.
HBO Max.
Again, no. Superman and Lois. They're playing fast and interesting with the CW Arrowverse timeline. Because after Crisis on Infinite Earth, they put everybody on the same Earth. And it was like, okay, cool. But then a bunch of little things changed, like Clark and Lois's baby turned into twins. And now, these twins here are they're entering high school. And it's like, whatever, the Superman and Lois shot unlike any other DC show. It's shot like, I think it's shot to try to emulate a movie and look like a movie. It isn't that movie quality, don't get me wrong. But it's like, they're doing a saturation thing. There's a feel to it in a way their other shows aren't. I like Clark and Lois's thing. I like how they set up getting them out of Metropolis and what's going on over there, coming back to Smallville, yada, yada, yada. Some of the performances from some of the supporting characters, not that good. And then for me, like, the one that, like, I read it on the page and I saw, like, the trailer and I was like, that doesn't make any sense. But I'm sure they're going to have a great reason for it when we get to the show. Watched that episode and they did not have any reasoning for it. It was just like, oh, and it's that Clark and Lois's kids are going into freshman year of high school.
And they don't have any powers?
And they don't know their dad's Superman.
Oh. That's a hard one.
And it was cool. Like, what? And I was reading, IGN had an article, I think, that they wrote before the Tim premiere. Goes,
cool.
But I went back to read it after it, and it was very, and they were like, this seems stupid, but they'll probably explain it as they get deeper into the show, we hope. And I'm like, they fucking better, because it's just nonsense. Not, and because, like, you know what I mean? Like, I know, how much people want to, and understandably, always want to bag on the glasses thing being the trope for Clark and Superman, right? And I, you know, American Alien, me and Kevin used to say all the time, did such a great job with that, where Pete and Kenny came to visit Clark in Metropolis, and they were like, oh, so you can't take your glasses off ever. He's like, no, I take them off all the time. And you know what people say? Hey, you look a lot like Superman, because they don't think a normal person. It's like, okay, for the normal people, I get that. For being at home all the time, your dad's just chilling out, laying back, or talking to your mom, no glasses Super on, and like built. Superman's on fucking TV, and they're like, "This is you!" Like what?
It's comically like he's reading the newspaper with a picture of him, and then he puts it down. Exactly. No glasses.
Yeah. Hey, kids, have a super day.
And I was I was watching it. I was like holding.
His
out
favorite
hope
saying
of, like,
is, "Hey, that's super, man."
I was holding out hope for like when they when the reveal did happen that the kids would be like. Yeah, no, we know. We've known you're super. You don't get that at all. The one kid's like, what? We've seen Superman. I'm like, well, you're a fucking moron then, because I don't know what to tell you. Oh, he looks exactly so like funny. Me. What the
you
fuck
know
are
what?
You?
It's the alien and the human breeding. Like, there's a lot of, like...
their vision's permanently blurry. Like, they just can't focus on faces.
I hope that that's it, Andy. I hope that I don't think you nailed it.
It's one of those things...
dumb as shit.
Guys, sorry to spoil the show for you. Andy just leaked the entire thing. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
It's the breeding... It's the breeding issue.
It's one of those things. It's just the breeding. It's a stupid thing, and it's an incredibly hard pill to swallow in the pilot. And I think maybe either now they will never address it again, or they will eventually have some kind of reasoning from Crisis of why it happened. But I would say just keep on trucking to get through it. But for now, ladies and gentlemen, let's have a word from our sponsor, Andy. This episode of the Kinda Funny Podcast is brought to you by MeUndies, and everybody calm down, I got copy to read. It's time we stopped messing around about funny things and talked about something really serious and important, your underwear. That's right, we're doing it. MeUndies believes undies are something that should be yelled about from the rooftops or shown off in mirror selfies on Instagram. They're not undie shy, so let's talk. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, you know I wear MeUndies only. That's all I wear. I mean, I wear other clothes, but in terms of underwear, I only wear MeUndies. They're super soft. They're super comfortable. They come in cool patterns. You can get them online. They mail them right to your door. You can join the membership club. There's a whole bunch of stuff. They're super soft. Tim loves the shirts and the lounge pants and all that, but I love the underwear. And as you found out last week, I also love it when you use the MeUndies membership to send them to relatives and people in the neighborhood and then say it's from somebody who died 10 years ago. This is a movement that's taking off. You could be part of it. Of course, let's talk about the MeUndies membership. MeUndies isn't just here to make sure every booty is comfortable. They're also limiting the amount of laundry you have. How thoughtful. They designed a membership that not only saves you 30% on each, but delivers a fun new pair of undies or socks right to your door every month. Plus, you're the boss. You can control your shipments, and you also get early access to their most exclusive prints. MeUndies are offered in a range of sizes from extra small to 4XL, and now that everybody's worked from home, they also offer the softest loungewear. Fill your closet with things you actually want to put on. MeUndies has a great offer for my listeners. For any first-time purchasers, you get 15% off and free shipping. MeUndies also has their problem-free philosophy. If you're not satisfied with any product for any reason, they'll refund or exchange it. No caveats, no questions. To get your 15% off your first order, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/morning. That's MeUndies.com/morning. They didn't write this, but remember, you can send them to people in your neighborhood and act like you're a dead grandparent.
Oh, my God.
Yo, hey, so I got something that I want to show you guys. So we were talking about DC and Warner Brothers a lot, right?
Yeah,
recently, yeah. WB put out a trailer that blew our minds. That is Mortal Kombat. Oh. And honestly, blew our minds just in the sense of this looks fun. It looks more fun than it deserves to look. So I can't wait to do it. During the trailer reaction, I announced we are doing Mortal Kombat in review. Kev, are you prepped to play the asset that I sent you?
Yeah.
Are you? Yeah. That'd be fantastic. Because we did get the Mortal Kombat in review intro song made. The visuals aren't made yet. But I need to share this with you because, goddamn, Carter Harrell might have outdone himself with this one.
Oh,
it
dear.
Is so spectacular. Before that, we're doing Godzilla in review leading into Godzilla vs. Kong and HBO Max. But then after that, Mortal Kombat comes out in April 16th. So. We're going to be doing the 90s movies as
and
well.
Tim and I and Kevin were also featured on the like reaction video that they put out on Twitter.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
That was kind of fun.
That's cool. That's
yeah.
Cool.
Us reacting and freaking out, which was very cool.
Also, MC Fixer was in there too. A lot.
Yeah. But anyway, I've been going down a Mortal Kombat rabbit hole ever since that trailer. Like, I just got hooked. I went back to playing Mortal Kombat 11. Like, what a damn game. It's so good. But I've also been listening to the theme song on repeat a lot. And I know it's very near and dear to our hearts in different ways.
Bum, bum.
But this shit is magic. You ready to play it, Kev Dog?
Let's go.
The asset, right? Not the YouTube link?
Yes, please. The in review intro.
All right, here we go. Hopefully everyone can hear it fine.
Kind of funny, Tim.
Oh my God.
Nick.
Yes.
Kevin. Andy. Blessing. Best friends win.
Oh my God.
Are you kidding me? Like, are you really fucking kidding me?
Oh my God.
It's so good.
The jingle is there. Like, that's amazing.
It is so good. Anyways, I can't wait for that. So I've been going down a rabbit hole of just like watching Mortal Kombat videos, listening to remixes and stuff. And I came across one. And Andy, I'm telling you right now, in an alternate universe, me and you have fused into one person. Okay. And it is a man named Leo P. And I want to introduce all of you, the world watching at home, to Leo P, who's the dopest saxophone player I've ever fucking met in my life. The reason it's a mix between me and you, Andy, is he has musical talent.
What about Nick? What about Nick? Like, he played trumpet.
There's some attitude of Nick in this as well. Okay. But when you see him, you're going to be like, okay, I get where the Tim comes from.
I was never a woodwind. I was never very much of a woodwind guy.
A woodwind.
But it's all, when you see this, it's an attitude thing.
Okay.
Woodwind.
So here's what I want to do. I want to watch this for like 40 seconds because it builds and I want it to fucking kick because you guys need to see what Leo P is fucking made of.
Leo P?
Okay.
Let's go.
I don't even know what he's wearing. I love it.
It's like what boxers
wear. What boxers wear. And I love that he's playing like a baritone sax or whatever that is.
Nick, that's the biggest sax I've ever seen in my entire life.
It's big sax, man.
It's baritone, eh?
This guy is man.
Damn.
Isn't he awesome?
This hit, yeah.
I like his shoes.
I have those shoes.
Are those Jordans?
Yeah, Miami 8s.
Those are cool. You need to start wearing this whole outfit, Tim, and playing Saxon.
I want to. Anyways, he's fucking great. This goes on for minutes and he doesn't stop.
This goes on for minutes.
He's getting more and more excited and like moving around the whole fucking stage. It's awesome. And like, I went into it, he is extremely talented and very famous, it turns out, but he is a dope motherfucker that
kind
is
of
in
life
many
forward.
Many I fucking hope I gotta get Leo P. You kidding me?
All right,
if you can, anyway. What do you think would happen? What do you think would happen if we put Leo P's energy in the same room with Snowbike Mike's energy?
Oh. You can't do it.
It's just what they'll just repel. They just too much energy and they'll just pow.
I think the world is lucky that Mike has no musical talent.
Yeah.
Like the fact that Mike isn't super into making music, if he could and if he was good at it, oh my God. Like, you know,
I feel like he would rival.
He would have never ever considered us because he'd be huge on YouTube and Twitter.
Do we know that for a fact, though? Because, like, I wouldn't be shocked if he's like, you put a piano in front of him and he just goes.
He just goes.
It's possible,
it's Kevin. True. You're right.
It's one of those things where we need to trick him, right? So we get him down here. We're hanging out. We're having a party. Everyone's having a good time. And he turns around and there's just a piano there. You know,
right.
And
several, just slide several a piano instruments. Underneath him. Several instruments.
Yeah. And he's like, I didn't know I could do this. And then all of a sudden he's like rivaling that one dude on Instagram that you showed us, Tim, Mark Ribelet, whatever that guy's
Ribelet,
name is.
Yeah.
And he's just that guy. All of a sudden we're like, holy fuck, he's.
Is Mark Ribelet okay? Where's he been? I haven't seen him pop
up. He's been posting.
Dude, he's been great. Yeah.
He's doing stuff.
He did a show in the Bay Area a month and a half ago, I think, where it was one of the weird Nick ones where everyone's in cars. But it sounded cool. Like from the Instagram videos I saw, like they had a video wall at least.
Oh, shit.
Which is
That's a big deal.
Yeah, that's something.
Man, it's a wall. Yeah, it's. I want
to learn how to play saxophone.
You can play saxophone pretty easy. It's way harder than trumpet.
Tim, what you need to do is get one of those keyboards that the keys light up a certain color to teach you how to play piano. Mm-hmm. I want one so bad. I don't need it, but I just love the aesthetics of the actual keyboard.
It's cool.
Nick, it's all black, and the LEDs of the keys light up as the music comes down, similar to like Guitar Hero type thing. So you have cool. On your iPad, you have the app up showing you what keys to hit as they're... And it's basically mirroring the keyboard or whatever.
Yeah.
But it just looks cool. Like, it looks like a really coolly made... Coolie,
sure. Coolie butt. Why not?
It's coolie butt. The keyboard just looks sick as shit. And it's like, I really, really want one. But man, I tell you what. Music software is just such a pain in the ass, dude. I just...
How?
Hold on. Go ahead.
I was going to say, how much would you be pissed if you get this keyboard, Andy, and you're very excited about it, and that is the day we have this party with Snowbike Mike, and he comes down and he takes one look at it and he just starts fucking dominating this thing.
Oh my God, I wouldn't be mad. Are you kidding me?
Give it to him. You pack it in his Jeep or whatever he drives. He's got to drive a Jeep, right? Like
Mike drives a Jeep.
Snowbike Mike has a convertible always, even when it's snowing. He never has a fucking top on his car.
A Jeep. That is so perfect.
Wow. He's such a Jeep guy. Yeah, the top down, he does a Jeep wave. You do the Jeep wave. I wish more people... why is it only Jeep people that have the Jeep wave?
The motorcyclists?
Why isn't there a Honda nod?
Motorcyclists have the low point. The two-finger low point.
They really? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Next time you're out there driving, you see a motorcyclist in front of you and one coming at him, look, they'll do it.
But here's the thing. Like... Sure, that's a motorcycle, and there are tons of brands of motorcycles, but why is it only Jeep drivers that is a singular brand of vehicle have the Jeep wave? I don't get it.
When you know, you know. Jeep.
That's a great point. When you know, you know.
It's got to be it. Jeep, yeah.
Andy, do you actually read music? Can you read Jeep music?
Not anymore. No, I used to be in middle school. I could when I was in percussion, and I also had to play xylophone and bells and marimba and all that shit. So that's where my knowledge kind of started and ended. My aunt, who passed away last year, was really, really good at piano, and I tried learning from her in middle school, and I just didn't really want to learn piano, and it pisses me off that I felt that way, because piano is the one instrument I wish I was really good at. I think it's so hard.
Piano's so cool.
Piano's so badass, dude. But yeah, so what I was going to mention, in the way that when I want to get work done on my vehicle and people are like, Andy, you could just change the oil yourself. It's like, I don't fucking want to, right? Yeah. Let me pay somebody to do that. It's like, I feel the same way about music software. It's like, I don't want to learn how to set this shit up. I just wish I could snap my fingers, pay a flat amount, and have things set up for me where I don't have to worry about the drivers and the inputs and the latency and the XLRs and the USB 3. It's such a nightmare, dude. Like I think I have a pain in the ass whenever I think it's a pain in the ass when I'm dealing with rendering software like Premiere or whatever.
Sure.
And it is so low on the totem pole compared to the complexities of musical software. God damn, I fucking hate music software.
Dude, I mean, this is just tech shit. I told you about this, Andy, already. But recently, this is going to be something that's going to save so many of your lives one day randomly. But because the projector's here and the console shit's up there, I need a very long HDMI cable. But I need a nice HDMI cable because I want all the 4K stuff and the hertz and the blah, blah, blah and all that shit.
Gotta have the hertz.
So I bought a nice HDMI cable, which, you know, we've kind of grown up in our world of like HDMI cables are all the fucking same. Who cares? That's kind of changed now with like the 2.1 stuff and all that. So there's more things you need to be aware of. But I got nice ones. It was good. Good to go. Whatever. It worked when I set it up. But then I wasn't ready to cable manage, so I unset it up. And next time I plugged it in, it wasn't working. And it's been so frustrating to me. And that's happened a couple times. I've returned it. I've returned an HDMI cable 3 times. And every single time, it works once and then doesn't work the other times. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I was going crazy. And it wasn't until 3 hours into troubleshooting and like just fucking insane, like going insane myself, right? I look at it and I realize that one side, the HDMI port that I was plugging in to like my PS4 or whatever said source.
PS5,
yeah. Said source. And I was like, oh my fucking God. And I looked at the other thing and it said display. And I'm like, I bet you if I switch these, it's going to fucking work, whatever. I did. And I realized this HDMI is only one way.
That's the thing.
So if you ever have a fucking problem with your HDMI cable not working, make sure you check in. It might like try swapping it and it might fucking work. And it blew my mind. And I'm like, yeah, apparently this is just a fucking thing.
That's wild. It's just the new ones, maybe, though. I think it's maybe the new high hertz ones that are designed to specifically be that. Because
it's high hertz with high with long distance is the only time that it becomes a factor. But
it
was driving me fucking crazy. And it's not just something that like you would know. Unless you obviously fucking looked at the goddamn thing. But no one's looking at an instruction manual when you buy a cable.
Yeah, yeah. It's a cable.
It's a fucking cable.
It's a cable.
Cable should just work. Guys, before we go over to the post show, the Naughty Biscotti in chat says, Yeah, it was. I need your help. I can't decide between Thai or wings for dinner. Andy, what should he have?
Wings.
Thai or wings? Wings.
Oh, Thai food. Get Thai wings. They sell wings at Thai place.
I'm just with Thai, straight up Thai.
I love Thai food.
I said wings, so that's a split decision, but Nick has the right answer probably of just Thai wings.
I mean, I have...
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kind of Funny podcast. If you didn't know, each and every week, twice a week. Kevin, we didn't come to you because we didn't want your opinion.
Nope. Nah, that's not true.
I just forgot about you because I can't see you and you haven't interjected that much this time, but I love you. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, there's a Kind of Funny podcast twice a week now. We'll be back with the voice of the new Cleveland on Family Guy this week. That's a weird thing to say, but I'm excited. of course, we have a post show to do over on patreon.com/kindoffunny where you can go to be part of the show. You can go to get the show ad-free. You can, of course, just have a good time and ask us questions. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way to do that, no big deal. Remember, you can get each and every episode of the show, youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe twice a week. Until next time, if you're watching live, have a great weekend. If you're watching when this posts on Monday, joke's on you, motherfucker. You got another week in front of you. Doesn't that suck?
Oh.
All right. Let's do a post show.